29. Which hymn book are you thinking? The children's hymn book? 29 in the children's hymn book. This one? The books of the Bible. I hope you guys know this one. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus. Okay, I've got a question I like to ask kids when we sing this song. Can someone tell me a book of the Bible, we just listed them all, and what it's about? Any of the kids? There's some easy ones. You know what the book of Jonah is about? What did you want to say?
Jonah's about Jonah.
Jonah's about Jonah? About the story of Jonah, you're right. You had your hand up?
Genesis.
And what's it about?
The beginning of the world.
The beginning of the world, you're right. You know what? Interesting thing to remember, Genesis is about the beginning of the world. It's about the beginning of almost everything. It's a book of beginnings. Everything, almost everything that we read in the Bible, every subject, you can go back to Genesis and find the beginning of it. Who else has one? A book of the Bible and what it's about. Some more easy ones would be Esther, Ruth, maybe Acts. You guys know Acts? You know one?
Esther is about Esther. How she becomes the king's.
She becomes the queen?
Yeah.
And she saves somebody. Do you know who she saves?
She saves
all her people. The Jews, she saved them because they were going to be attacked. Okay, who else had one? I think I saw another hand. You already did one. You want to do another one? Look.
Joshua is about Joshua and the Israelites.
And what are they doing?
They're attacking Jericho.
They're going into the land of Canaan, aren't they?
Yeah.
Maybe one more. One other kid want to do one? Oh, here's one. Yeah.
Exodus.
What's that about?
The Israelites traveling.
They're going through the wilderness, aren't they? Okay. You know, sometimes we read the Bible and we don't really think about the whole book. We look at a verse. We look at a couple of verses. We memorize a verse. It's good to think about what's this whole book about? Genesis, the book of beginnings, stuff like that. Exodus. Yeah, there's lots of stories that we know, but it's good to know that Exodus, the overall book, is about the journey through the wilderness. You guys read your Bible, right? Yeah? Sometimes? Mostly? If you have trouble, you can talk to me afterwards. I'll show you a scripture searcher booklet that you can do that might help you. Okay, who else has another hymn? From any of these hymn books we have here. I've got this one. Have you got this one? This one?
Twenty-nine
in the back of the camp hymn book. A friend for little children. Okay, did you guys learn a verse? We're going to go around. If you want to say a verse, you can. If you know the verse for this week, you can say that one. If you have a different verse you'd like to say, that's okay too. Who would like to start? Any volunteers? Here? Okay.
He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. Psalm 34:8.
Well, Psalm 40, verse 2. Thank you. Did you want to try? Anyone here? Yeah? Okay.
He brought me also up out of the horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock. Psalms 42.
Thank you. You want to try? No? Anyone back in this section? Miriam?
He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. Psalm 40, verse 2.
Thank you. Okay.
He brought me up also out of the horrible pit and out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. Psalms 40, verse 2.
Okay. Anyone here? I missed you. You okay?
He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. Psalm 40, verse 2.
Okay. Just to keep you guessing, let's go to this section next. Anyone here want to say it? You want to?
He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. Psalm 42.
Thank you. Anyone else here? Yeah?
He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. Psalms 42.
Okay.
He brought me up also up out of a horrible pit and put my feet upon a rock and established my goings. Psalms 40, verse 2.
Thank you. Anyone here? Jesse, you want to try? No? Anyone here? You want to try?
He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. Psalm 40, verse 2.
Thank you. Anyone here? Anyone here want to say it? No? I know Judah wants to say it back there. It's one of his favorite verses. Go ahead.
He brought me up also out of the horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. Psalm 40, verse 2.
He brought me up also out of the horrible pit and out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. Psalm 40, verse 2.
Thank you. Russia?
Can I do a different one?
You want to do a different one? Okay.
With joy and power, angel of God, over one finger I bent to Luke 15, 10.
Thank you. There is joy in the presence of the angels of God. James?
He brought me up also out of the horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. Psalms 40, verse 2.
Thank you. Okay.
He brought me up also out of the horrible pit and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. Psalms 42.
Thank you. Anyone here? No? No? Did I miss anybody? Anyone that wants to say it? Okay. I like this verse because it's got the whole gospel in one verse, and it goes beyond what we often think about as the gospel. And if you just say the verse quickly, you might not notice. But I like to divide the verse into three parts. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit and out of the miry clay. Can anyone think of a gospel verse or another verse that might talk about that same subject if we're applying that to the gospel? How we're brought up out of an horrible pit and the miry clay. Anyone think of a verse like that? Miry clay is like quicksand. You can't get out by yourself. You're stuck and you can't get out by yourself. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We didn't plan that. Anyone else? Other verses like that? How about the wages of sin is death? Right? Every one of us is sinners, is a sinner. All have sinned. Anyone here think they've never done anything wrong? Anybody? I didn't do it. It was her, him, somebody else, my sister. No? We all know that we've sinned. And the wages of sin is death. There's no way that we by ourselves as sinners can get into heaven, can escape death, the penalty for our sins. Anyone know the rest of that verse? I've only quoted the first part of it. The wages of sin is death. Can anyone say the rest of that verse for me? Sorry, James, I'm going to go to someone that's not in my family. Right.
But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Thank you. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The Lord Jesus came down, and he died, and shed his blood, so that any that believe on him will have their sins washed away. So, back to our memory verse. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay. Nothing you can do yourself. Imagine you're in a deep pit and you're stuck in quicksand. Can you get out by yourself? No. You're stuck. But he brought me up and he set my feet upon a rock. Anyone think about that, how that might apply to the gospel? He didn't just bring me out of the pit. He set my feet upon a rock. Are you going to sink anymore? Could you sink anymore on a rock into that quicksand? You can't. You're secure. In John, I'm going to read a verse quickly. In John chapter 10, verse 27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. So I like to think about that, of that part of the verse. He set my feet upon a rock, as how secure we are. If our sins have been washed away, if we've accepted the Lord Jesus as our Savior, there is no possibility of losing that. No possibility of falling back into this pit that you can't get out of. You're secure. He's promised. If God is God, you're secure. As long as God is God. His own character, his own self is at stake here. There's no possibility. Then the last part of that verse. What's the last part of that verse? Someone help me up. After he set my feet upon a rock, what did he do? You remember?
He established my goings.
He established my goings. He didn't just bring us up out of the pit, save us, and say, okay, bye. Have a good life. I'll see you in heaven. You're safe, you're secure. Go do the best you can. He didn't do that. He established our goings. He has a plan for each one of us. He has a path for each one of us to walk. And he's guiding us along that path. Each one of us, from the youngest to the oldest. It's just as true as the 5-year-old sitting down there for him as it is for the oldest one here. Who's the oldest one here? I don't even know. Here? And Bev. Does he have a plan for your life? Did he guide you through your life? He absolutely did. Each one of us, he has a plan for our life. There's a verse. Maybe one of you can read this. Who can turn for me to Psalm 32. Who's at Psalm 32 and willing to read a verse for me? Yeah? Okay. Can you show your Bible? Verse 8, please.
I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way that which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye.
I will instruct thee and teach me in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. Can you guys see what I'm looking at? Can you? Kind of? James, can you see what I'm looking at? I'm looking at you. Can you guys see what Jude is looking at? He's way back there. Anyone see what Jude is looking at? If he wasn't hiding? I can't see what he's looking at. You know why? Why can't I see what Jude is looking at? Miriam? He's too far away. So if the Lord Jesus is going to guide us with his eye, what does that tell us we have to do? Anyone else? Miriam, what does it tell us we have to do?
Stay close to him.
You have to stay close to him. And how do you stay close to the Lord Jesus? That's a bit of a harder question. How do you stay close to the Lord Jesus? Anyone know? You again? Okay. How do you stay close?
Talking to him more often.
Talking to him more often. That's exactly right. Reading his word, praying, talking to him as a friend. And he'll show you what he has for your life. He established my goings. I want to turn to a couple more verses. What are we doing for time? One in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Does anyone want to read this one? It's actually two verses. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Anyone ready? Want to read? You want to? No? I'll read it then. Unless I missed somebody. Okay, I'll read it. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 19. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. If you think about this memory verse we said, he brought me up out of a horrible pit and out of the miry clay. You were stuck. There was no possibility of escape. Nothing you could do to save yourself. As good as dead. And he brought you up and saved you. He rescued you. You are bought with a price. You were as good as dead, and he rescued you. Don't you owe your life to him? Turn to Romans chapter 12. If I can find Romans. There we go. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. How many kids were here in the reading meeting yesterday morning? I think at least half of you. Maybe more. Does anybody remember what the word ministry means? Only two, Steve. Hannah, why don't you tell us?
Service.
Service. And each one of us has a service to do. And when Uncle Steve was talking about this yesterday, I found it really interesting because it tied directly into what I wanted to talk about today. He was talking about how all of us have a service, and it was tied to the mercy we had received in being not getting what we deserve, in a way that's being rescued from this pit, saved from the penalty of your sins. And here we are in Romans chapter 12. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. Because you've been rescued, you haven't gotten what you deserved. That you present your bodies. If you're going to give your body, you're basically giving your whole life. That you present your whole life a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, ministry. Reasonable. It's only reasonable. It just makes sense that if you've been saved from such a penalty, you're as good as dead and you were rescued from this, that you owe your life to him that rescued you. Doesn't that make sense? And it's as true for the younger ones as it is for the older ones. And it's a good reminder for each one of us. You know, if you think about some people that you might think of in the Bible, some stories in the Bible of people that were faithful, and that followed the Lord or followed God, who can you think of? Who's someone in the Bible? Pardon? Caleb was faithful. Who else? James? Moses. Joshua. Yeah. Pardon? Daniel. Anyone else? Yeah. Isaiah. Hannah, you had one? Abraham. Noah. You know, we think about these people, we know their stories, we rattle them off. But stop and think for a minute. Let's pick one. Moses. Think about his life. Here he is growing up in the palace in Egypt. But God has a plan for him. He gets chased out. He spends 40 years in the desert. He comes back and he leads the children of Israel through the wilderness. Very, very tough life. I wouldn't want that job. Think about the trials, the sorrow. Did he ask for this? You know, maybe he was tempted to look back and say, God ruined my life. I had it all planned out. I was a prince. And he ruined it. Is it true? Maybe from a worldly perspective. From Egypt's perspective, maybe. But no. He owed his life to God. He brought me up also over a horrible pit. Present your bodies a living sacrifice. It's only reasonable. Think of some of the others. Abraham. Brother Matt, Uncle Matt was talking about that last night. He had a nice family. He was married. He lived close to his father, his brother. And God called him and said, go. Pack up and go. But God, I had plans. I had plans. I was going to settle down here. I had some nice pasture. I was going to grow my flocks. No, go. Think about these people. Spend some time when you read these stories and think about what it would be like to live their lives. Think about what it meant for them to follow the Lord. And really, then think about what you're being asked to do. The tiny sacrifices you're being asked to make. How do they compare? It's only reasonable, which is your reasonable service. I think we're almost out of time. Let's finish with one more hymn out of the camp hymn book. Number 53. I have decided to follow Jesus. Number 53. You're not your own, for you're bought with a price. Remember that as you make these decisions in your lives. It's true for the front row. It's perhaps even more true for those kids that are sitting towards the back. A lot of decisions in your life coming up. You're not your own. Let's pray. Our God and our Father and our Lord Jesus, we thank thee for this opportunity we have to sing these hymns together and say these verses. And we thank thee that thou hast delivered us from this horrible pit and not only made us secure, but planned on our life. And thou hast a plan to guide us through our life. We pray thou hast helped each one of us to remember this and to remember to turn to thee and to stay close to thee so we can hear what thou wouldst have us to do. We commit the day ahead to thee now. We pray for help in the readings this afternoon and think of those that are still traveling up here, and we pray for safety for them. And we commit the whole week ahead to thee too, and we pray for an enjoyable and a fun time, but a profitable time too, as we learn more about thee. We pray this now in thy name. Amen.